Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent called Laetare Sunday. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There's a bake sale in the hall after Mass today, sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will be this evening at 6 p.m. Friday, this coming Friday, we will have Stations of the Cross again at 7 p.m., followed by Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and Confessions. Don't forget, Catholics go to Stations of the Cross. If you're not Catholic, then you don't need to come. Catholics come. Donations for the Easter lilies. If you are interested, please sign the paper on the bulletin board in the vestibule. If you wish to assist us with the Easter flowers. Novena to St. Joseph, which we began yesterday, will continue, and we say that novena. We encourage everyone to be part of this novena to our great patron. There are some important feasts this week. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Gregory the Great. We wish we had time to tell you about Saint Gregory. He was truly great, and he is great now in heaven. On Saturday is the feast of Saint Patrick. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory, for these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that dost not bear. Break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain, and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them that each one may receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many?" Jesus then said, "Make the people recline." Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted." They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people, therefore, had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain, himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this is Laetare, or Rejoice Sunday, also called Mid-Lent Sunday, because Lent is now half over. Halfway finished with our penances and sacrifices. And in a few short weeks, we will be celebrating the great feast of the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. Arguably the biggest event in history. Son of God rising from the dead. So this day, Laetare Sunday, is given to us as an encouragement, a reminder of all of the reasons that we have to rejoice, to put on a smile. These reasons, these sources of our happiness, are infinite in number. And so we do not have enough time today to mention all of them to you, but some of them are more important than others. They merit our attention, our thanksgiving, eternally so. So the one primary one that we are given today is the Most Holy Eucharist. This is our greatest gift. after the incarnation. It's part and parcel with the incarnation. We may not ever learn all of the reasons why we should be happy, because the perfections of God are infinite in number, and they are infinite in themselves. And so even in eternity, we will not know them all, even though they will be revealed to us throughout eternity, more and more. We may not even know all of the angels in heaven, because their number is quasi-infinite. Each of them is a reflection of one of the perfections of God. And so we have Saint Gabriel, for instance, the strength of God. Saint Raphael, the medicine of God. Of course, Saint Michael, who is like God. But we have this one for our admiration, given to us in this gospel for today, with this miracle, which not only was a very solemn moment, because this miracle that Christ worked for us, for these people, and for us, not only prefigured the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Most Holy Eucharist, but it was like a promise of what was to come. Very solemn moment, because this, what it pointed to, would take place for eternity. The sacrifice of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, and that which it accomplishes would actually be heaven. What does the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the reception of Holy Eucharist, what does this accomplish? Our life with God, our divine union. Not only at the moment that we receive, but forever. You might say, but we receive our divine life in baptism. But you see, as you may recall, all of the other sacraments receive their power from the Holy Eucharist. And so, when we are baptized by the priest, the reason life is given to us at that moment is in preparation for Holy Communion, for the reception of God Himself, the Son of God, in the Blessed Sacrament. So really, it is the Eucharist that gives us life, eternal life. And so our Lord and Savior goes up the mountain, all of these people following him. So he brings them up above the earth, as if going to heaven, leaving the earth behind. And he has them all get on the ground. Because to receive even the symbol, the figure, the promise of the Eucharist, they must get down, they must be lowly and humble. So he has them lie down on the grass, but in the dirt. To be humble. And so we kneel, don't we? Just like these people. Maybe they knelt. And then he gives thanks because of this solemn moment. He gives thanks to God. And he has his priests give them the symbol of the Eucharist. He performs this miracle through the hands of the priest. The 12 apostles. The bread was multiplied through the hands of the priests. They weren't priests yet, but they would be. So it points to the need for the priesthood, because they received just the symbol of God, a symbol of our divine life from the priests. Even that they could not have by themselves. And the 12 baskets symbolize this. 12 apostles, 12 baskets. Superabundance of God's grace to us through the hands of the priest. People don't like this because they like the idea that they can go to God without any help. They don't like needing anyone. That's humiliating, isn't it? I can go to God myself. I don't need any of you. But the miracle is performed just like the Mass. From then, from the time of the institution of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, until the end of time, because the Mass will last at least up until close to the very end of the world. All that time, Christ reproduces himself for us, gives us himself to us through the Eucharist. He gives us life. And we learn also from this that even though our Lord and Savior, who is infinitely compassionate to all of our needs, he does not, in the end, care anything about our earthly needs except insofar as they are necessary for us on our way to heaven. He keeps us alive for heaven so that we can earn our place there, our seat in heaven. He did not come on earth to be a do-gooder. So even though he feeds these people, what is he telling us by feeding them except that this is for heaven? This is for the Mass. This is where you receive your life, your life's blood, through the cross, through the Eucharist. He's not a do-gooder. He's only concerned about our eternal welfare. He has nothing to do with earthly things, only heavenly. Performs a miracle for a purpose, always a divine purpose. We do not belong here, brethren. Christ came on earth to bring us to heaven. We are aliens. This is not our planet. We don't belong here. We belong in heaven. That's our home. Not here. This world means nothing to us. This was his favorite miracle. Notice he performed this miracle another time, and some say even more than that. 5,000 men. And this, on this occasion, 5,000 men. On the other one, 4,000 men. And we are told that it was at least that many women and children. So we're talking about, let us say, 20,000 people he performed this miracle for, these miracles. 20,000 people experienced this symbol of the Mass, the symbol of Christ's body and blood, his death on the cross. None of his other miracles compare in the least in terms of magnificence, all because of our divine life. Because this is what he will do for all eternity in his eternal act of thanksgiving, of adoration, of love of his Father. First his Father, then for his love of us. Always his Father first. Because this is why he came. For our life. Our life in heaven. We have told you before, when you receive Holy Communion, you should be prepared to enter heaven. Because this is the degree of our union with our Lord and Savior. We are brought right into the life of the Trinity. To share in God's life. No one has ever dreamed of this. With all of their pagan gods, no one ever dreamed that God could love us like this, that he would love us enough to give us a share in his own life. All of us. Or that he could do such a thing. Be prepared to enter heaven. In 1873, in the Tyrol, which is now basically Austria, it's a little girl, 6 years old. Her name was Louise. And she saw people receiving Holy Communion. She questioned, what's going on here? What is this? What's happening? And it was explained to her. And so she would practice receiving Holy Communion at home. And she would talk to her mother. And she would say, how can I do this? I want to receive Christ. And she was too young. And she began to get sick, to suffer. The doctors could not find anything wrong with this little girl. Finally, she was at the point of death, when she would suffer, she would not complain. Sometimes she would cry out in pain. This little girl, given this knowledge that she needed to suffer, and she would say, I want to be like Christ. I want to suffer like him. And so she was at the point of death. And they gave her extreme unction. And after they anointed her, she went into a deep sleep. And finally she awakened. And she called for the priest. I want to see a priest. So the priest came. And she said, I want Jesus. I want him. And he said, would you like a picture of him? And she said, no. I want to receive Holy Communion. So he questioned her. And she's begging him, please, please. And so finally he relented. He said, I cannot deny this little girl Holy Communion. She knows exactly what it is. She understands it perfectly. And so he gave her Holy Communion. And after that, her sufferings increased. And 10 days later, she died. August 5th, 1873. She was a little saint. But you see, we do not appreciate what we receive in the Holy Eucharist, like this little 6-year-old girl appreciated it. How grateful we should be. How holy we should be. One of the most intriguing things that we find about the incarnation is that God planned this from eternity for you and me. He had this in his eternal mind, his eternal plan, that he would not only become a man, but that he would share his life with us. And even more mysterious is that he desires us that we love him. Who can ever understand this, that he wants our love? He did everything for this. He created the universe. He suffered and died on the cross for our love. Yes, first for his Father. So, this epistle is very mysterious and difficult to understand, isn't it? It has been explained to us in the past, very symbolic. We only mention this one thing because it is the essence of this epistle, and that is that St. Paul says that he calls that Jerusalem which is free, which is our mother. Heaven. Heaven. That's the Jerusalem, because you know Jerusalem, the city in Israel, is the symbol of heaven. And so he says, the Jerusalem which is free, which is our mother. So you see, heaven is our mother. That's where we belong, with our mother in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. That's the whole point of this. This epistle is our divine union with God, our holiness, our prayer. Our conversation is in heaven. That's prayer, brethren. That's holiness. Do not ignore us. Do not shut us out. Holiness is ours. You must desire it. Your prayers will be answered in the degree that you desire God. Because he is infinitely just. And so, you commit a sin, you pay the price, you suffer. Virtue is rewarded. Rather, vice is punished, virtue is rewarded. Sin, you're punished. Virtue, you're rewarded. You just simply desire something that is sinful. You're punished. To the degree that you desire it. If you desire virtue, you are rewarded. So you must desire God. This is the reason that we are not holy. We do not desire it as we should. Throughout the day, you must pray, you must perform acts of spiritual communion. What is spiritual communion? You know what it is. St. Thomas says that it is an ardent desire to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and loving him as if we had. And so the saints would do this, perform spiritual communions hundreds of times per day. Hundreds. It's a very devout and rewarding prayer. Perform it at any moment, at any time. The graces you will receive are beyond description. Receive Holy Communion all day long. This is what the saints did. And you are called saints, aren't you? This is what we are called by St. Paul, the saints. Because this is our vocation. This is what God has called us to. What great privileges we have. How grateful we should be on Laetare Sunday for this greatest of all gifts ever. May God bless you.